Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Men will by nature rebel against every true revelation of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Many do so while professing to be the followers of Christ, as they exalt the free will of men and make the redemptive work of Christ to be a mere attempt to save men, which ultimately depends upon them instead of him. One cannot deny the testimony of Paul, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Yet many will seek to modify what Paul clearly stated in order to promote their schemes which give men a place to glory in their own decisions, works, faith, and obedience. In the same fashion, they will revolt against Paul's clear declaration of the absolute sovereignty of God. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The man who is convinced that his opinion is always correct is either a fool or unlearned in the limitations of even spiritually minded men. There are some passages of Scripture that are difficult to understand. Yet we must be faithful to set forth what understanding we have in a manner which would encompass the essence of the truth as it is in Jesus, even if we might miss the exact import of it in every detail. Mark 9:1 is just such a scripture. And he said unto them, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. It is true enough that the Lord could have been speaking of an event far off in the future, yet it would appear that it could not be beyond the lifetime of those to whom he was speaking. Some have surmised that he is speaking of the coming of his kingdom at the end of the age, when he returns with a shout and the voice of the archangel. But such seems unlikely to me, since he did say that the event which he is describing would occur while some of them were still alive. Others have thought that he has reference to the coming destruction of Jerusalem around the year 70 AD. Such seems a strained consideration to me, and does not represent the emergence of the kingdom of God with power. Then there are those who believe that he has reference to the day of his ascension, back to the right hand of the Father, which was witnessed by them, as the heavens opened, and he was received into the glory which he had with the Father from the beginning. This was indeed a momentous and glorious event, which surely shaped their concept of the extent of the reign of his kingdom. Yet I do not believe this is the event which was referenced by the Lord either, due that all of them to whom he spoke were present when he ascended, rather than some of them. So we are left to consider what event did he have reference to. When we look at the scriptures which are considered prophetic, we can be certain that they all have their fulfillment in Christ, since the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All of the creation shall worship at his footstool, because he is the creator of all things, which he made for that very end. He would reveal his glory to a people which he created for that very reason, who would delight not simply in his creation of them, but in their redemption, which is clearly made manifest in the unfolding of his kingdom in the earth. He had reference to this fact when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The opening up of the understanding of his disciples was an ongoing work of his ministry. One can only guess at their wonderment each time he performed some act which caused them to say, what manner of man is this? So it would appear to me that the event which he has reference to here in Mark 9:1 is the event which occurred on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter's expressed desire to build three tabernacles of equal import for Elijah, Moses, and the Lord shows that his line of thought was in keeping with his Jewish heritage and tradition. How startling it was to hear that voice from heaven thundering out, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him," as Moses and Elijah faded from view. If this is not a revelation of the kingdom of God coming with power, I'm not able to imagine what it would be. That revelation was cemented in Peter's mind on the day of Pentecost when he declared, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is the message of his kingdom, which has no end, and is the setting forth of his kingdom in power."
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.